Shalom Aleichem, sweetest friends. This year should be a special schus. Rabbi Marani Maras Yichyu, Rafuas Chayachavit Fegabas Michal Disbasia, and Lili Nishmas, Reb Levi, and Reb Shmuel Halevi. Continuing our series of Shiurim in Sechet Shabbos, Ein Hayah, Maran Rav Zatzal. Says in the Mishnah, Shabbos, on page Samach Dalet Amud Beis, that one is allowed to go out to a courtyard, a woman is allowed to go out to a courtyard with a kvul, which is a woolen hat, and a peh nachris, which is a wig. And we're not concerned, normally, as we're going to see, things that are in the chatzir, things that you're not allowed to bring to the Rosh Hashanah Rabbim, because you might take them off and carry them, so you're also not allowed to bring to the chatzir, but kvul and a peh nachris, you're allowed to bring into a chatzir. Meaning the courtyard, which is just a Rosh Hashanah Yachid. Amar Rav, call Sha'asur Chacham Latzbo Rosh Hashanah Rabbim, Asur Latzbo Lechatzir. Anything which Chazal Asur want to go out with into a public domain, one is similarly prohibited to go out with it with into the courtyard. Chutz mi kavul pfeh nachris, except for a woolen cap or a wig, which are prohibited in the Rosh Hashanah Rabbim and permitted in the courtyard. Skipping a little bit in the Gemara, the Rav Maishnahani, why are these, according to Rav, different from the other items? We have another opinion that of Benani Bar Sassim Shed Rabbi Yishma Rabbi Yossi, that other items are also permitted in the courtyard, like a kful, but Rav holds not like that, like Pashtus on Mishnah. And the question is, why is a woolen cap and a wig, why are woolen cap and a wig different from the other items in that they alone are permitted in the courtyard? So Amar Ula, Kedei Shalot is Ganal Baila. The rabbis permitted these ornaments in order to ensure that a woman won't be repulsive to her husband through her own complete lack of adornment to her husband. We allowed her a little bit of jewelry, a little bit, you know, to look good. Not too much, but a little bit. Shalot is ganal baila, so she doesn't become repulsive to her husband, kidisanya. For so has been taught in a braisa with regard to the adornments of a nida, of a menstruating woman. Vehadava bin nidasa. The Torah says in enumerating those who become contaminated through bodily emissions, and the menstruating woman in her state of nida. Sukenim HaRishonim Amru, based on the words Vinidasa, the Sukenim HaRishonim said, Shelo Tikcho, she may not apply eye makeup, Vishelo Tifkos, nor rouge, Rashi says, a reddish facial cosmetic, Lo Tiskashi Bivigidit Tzivonim, nor adorn herself with colorful clothing, so that she will remain in a state of separation for her husband. Rashi explains, Binidasa, that the Zakenim HaRishonim with Darshan, Kimashma, what does the word Nida mean literally? It means Minudeh. Minudeh means separated. So they want to make sure that a woman is separated for her husband. So they told her, make sure you don't look good. When you're a Nida, no makeup, no nice clothing. Wear drab clothing and nothing else. Ad shebo Rabbi Akiva v'limed, and this decree remained in force until Rabbi Akiva came and taught, Yom kenatam begana al baila. So you will make her repulsive to her husband, the nimtza baila magarsha, and her husband will consequently divorce her, chas v'shem. What does the Torah mean to say in the menstruating woman in her state of nida? That she remains in her state of nida, i.e. tumah, until she immerses herself in the water of mikvah. Rashi, tehei benidasa bitumasa. In other words, Rabbi Akiva learns in the nidasa, not in menuda from her husband, just that she's tumaya, until she comes b'mayim litbo, in b'may a litbo to be toivel in the water to immerse herself in the water. The afal pisha haru zayin shelo pasak mayana. Even though the 7 days have already passed, Upasak Mayana, she hasn't seen blood for 7 days, she's still in need until she comes into water. So a woman shouldn't say, oh, I stopped, my flow stopped, I'm not a menstruating woman, I'm permitted to my husband. Now the Torah says Vinidasa that she stays in her need until she comes into water. However, she is permitted to adorn herself and make herself look nice even during her period of being a Nida. Omer Maran Rav al Gemara Amar Ula Kedei Shelo Titgane al Bala. We allow her to wear her wig and her woolen hat in order that she does not become ugly to her, but no other jewelry in the courtyard we're talking about. Yeshnam Tachshitim Ka'ele Shehem Magdilim Et Midat HaYofi Yoter Me'amidat Vit. Rav always, finds a balance. A balance between two extremes. And that's really in life what we always have to do. We always have to find balances between, there are many, many conflicting values in life. And we have to find the balance between those conflicting values. Whether it's Ben Adam Lachaver and Ben Adam Lamakom, whether it's taking care of our body where it's not being too immersed in our body, having money as opposed to being totally immersed in our money and totally obsessed with our money, etc., etc., etc. So here we're going to do the same thing. Here it's perfect in the Gemara already. You don't have to go so far, right? Because we allow certain tachshitim and not other tachshitim. We allow her to adorn herself with a wig and a kavul, a wooden woolen hat. But now with other jewelry, other things to make her look good. Why? Because there's certain ornaments that amplify the measure of a woman's beauty more than the normal amount. And they destroy the natural, pure, innocent beauty, quiet beauty.
Haba'a mehishtakut b'mida nifraza mitchunat bakashat yofim chitzoniim kmo ele shehem pogmim et tumat hanefesh u'me'abdim et hayofi hativi.
So when one has too much jewelry, so they ruin the natural, innocent, quiet beauty that is fitting to create a fortress to strengthen. In other words, to temper the vatzel milashon mivtzar. So the point is here to strengthen yourself, so that you don't have, you make you have to temper the shrivus halev, the cavalier, flippant feeling in one's heart that one gets when one is too immersed. Mehishtak'ut, when one is too immersed, b'midah nifraza, with a overflowing measure of the quality of seeking out external beauty, like these, that impede the purity of the soul and destroy natural beauty. In other words, a woman has natural beauty and the jewelry is supposed to bring that out. But sometimes a woman is wearing so much jewelry that you're just, it's just overdone. It's just too much. You know, like if, let's say a woman is going in the morning to bring her child to the daycare center before she goes to work, right? You know, just a regular Monday morning, and you know she's dressing up like she's a cop, right? So that's already it's already too much. You know what I mean? You're just going to, so that's just overdone. So sometimes in life, people are or a woman is going to the grocery store to buy some milk. You know, and she wears, you know, a gold necklace and 50 different pieces. And she takes out all the jewelry that she has and she puts it on. So Baruch Hashem, I'm just going to buy some milk. So that's too much. That's when that's hishtakut b'midan nifraza mitunat bakashat yofim chitzonim. That's immersing oneself too much in seeking out external beauty. And that destroys the natural beauty. That destroys the pure, innocent beauty of the woman. Because it's too much externality. Asher al kein matim hadavar me'od. And therefore it's very fitting. Shetachas tchunat hashavat inugo u'menuchato. Shetachas shetchunat hashavat inugo u'menuchato hayta yichola lehatot et harayon lebakashat yofi v'hit hadrut ba'ad zerat chachamim v'tagdir et darka. שלא תתפשט תשוקת ריבוי התכשיטים יותר מהגבול הראוי. So instead of the quality of seeking out pleasure and rest could incline one's idea towards seeking out too much beauty and splendor, instead of that happening, that the woman, it's very fitting, okay, matima devam, it's fitting, that instead of one, chas v'shalom, a woman, being too immersed in her external beauty, comes the gzeirah of chachamim, and limits her. That the desire for much jewelry should not extend more than is fitting. Aval le'umat ze nimtza'im tachshitim ka'ela, there are certain, in contrast to this, there are certain ornaments which fundamentally are only there to cover something ugly. And to establish the nature of beauty on its measure of modesty and purity. Kishut kaze, such an ornament, ma shemeniato meoreret eze giul uslida, such a kishut, that preventing it will arouse disgust and repulsion, hu nachon u'musari ma'od, is very correct and very ethical. Levases yafe sidrei tahara b'sheket chaye habayit v'no'amo, to establish well the order of purity and peace in the life of the home and its pleasantness. V'tiru et elu kedei shelo titkane al ba'ala. And these were permitted in order that a woman shouldn't be mizgana, she shouldn't become ugly, repulsive in her husband's eyes. In other words, beautiful. Why these tachshitim and not others? Explains Harav Zatzal that if we would allow all the tachshitim, that would be too much. That would be too much of an immersion in external beauty, and that's not appropriate, certainly not for a woman in her state of nida. One could ask why Chazal ever allowed too much jewelry, because if the idea here is Hishtakut b'midah nifraza mitunat bakashat yufim chitzoniim. So that could be always, but I guess, you know, That would be one's own midas chasidus. But here they mamish made a decree that only these two things. Why? So there's still the basic beauty. She can still wear the wig and the hat. So there's a little bit there just to keep things, keep her looking okay, keep the home in a regular state. It's supposed to bring out her natural beauty and no more than that. But if one there's more than that, then it's going to be too much. That's too much immersion in external beauty, and that destroys the natural beauty. So what Chazal were trying to do is to be ma'amid, to establish more her yofi ha'tivi, her natural beauty, and therefore they allowed the kavul and the pe'anachus and the chatzer, but nothing else. So we have to find that balance between looking good, but not too good. Okay, that's os pei beis in the sixth paragraph. Now we continue further. Kedisanya, as we learn in the Braisa, v'hadava v'nidasa, that Zakenim HaRishonim Omru, that the earlier Zakenim said, that a woman shouldn't put makeup on, it's nice clothing, until Rabbi Akiva came and he taught that if you do that, then, in other words, this is explaining the Shita of Rav, why Rav holds, the Mishnah holds essentially, that we allow some things and not others. So originally, the Zakenim didn't want to allow a woman to put makeup on or nice clothing or anything. But when she's in Nida, and what I said before about I got confused for a moment. That happens, that's okay. That's not talking about a Nida. I would answer my question. That's not talking about a Nida. That's talking about on Shabbos. That on Shabbos we permitted these ornaments and not others, so she shouldn't become repulsive to her husband. She shouldn't be too immersed in external beauty, but enough to bring out her natural beauty. And that is talking again about Shabbos. And then Gemara takes that and brings a braisa to prove it, talking about a nida, that originally the rabbis forbade a nida, as we said, from putting on makeup, wearing nice clothing, comes to Rabbi Akiva, and he says, no, she's going to be mizgana al baila. So you see the same, the same principle of not being mizgana al baila. And what does he learn from Hadava ben Idasa? That she's a woman to need until she comes into the water. Omer Rav. Hakiyur hachitzoni mitoch shu talui b'chomer v'chush hagas einenu alul klal shiyem etapech liyofi v'tiferet. External ugliness, because it's dependent on something physical and the crude senses, einenu alul klal shiyem mitapech liyofi v'tiferet, is not liable at all that it should be transformed to beauty and glory. In other words, when something is externally ugly, nobody's afraid it's going to be considered beautiful and glorious. So it's going to remain disgusting to people until the trace of abomination is removed, is erased. Something is ugly, it's ugly. You have nothing to worry about. But it's not like that in kiyur ruchani, in spiritual ugliness. Kan anu medabrim b'tzura nafshit. Here we are talking about a spiritual form. Bekochot ha-me'or-oragim b'matzav nefesh ne'echa. We're dealing with powers that are woven in a emotional, ugly emotional, spiritual state. The powers that are woven in a matzav nefesh, in a ugly mood, literally. שאף מי שבעודם במצבם הכיעור, הם כל כך כיעורים וכל כך זהומים, עד שכל כיעור גופני לא יוכל לבוא למדרגת זוהמתם. So those, when there's kiyur ruchani, when there's spiritual ugliness, they are so ugly and so impure and so contaminated that nothing, no physical ugliness can reach the level of spiritual ugliness. אבל אותם כוחות עצמם, but those very same כוחות, כשהם מסתדרים במצב יפה ונאה, when they are organized in a nice and pleasant situation, במצב מלבב ומאיר, in a heart-lifting, shining situation, מתפך הכל לאורה ויופי נדר. Everything can, is transformed into light and wondrous beauty. וגם אלה כוחות עצמם ששישו לקיור לך לחוש רוחנית, מתרפים בטוב ואומץ רוחני אדיר ונכון, נכון וקיים. And the very same כוחות, which originally were ugly and we symbolized, denoted spiritual weakness, are now transformed into good and the spiritual strength and courage that is established and strong. In other words, when you talk about physical ugliness, what does physical ugliness do? When it's going to remain physically ugly until it is erased, until that ugliness is erased, until that unsightliness is removed. That is not going to be beautiful. That is not going to be mitapech liyofi v'tiferet, like the Rav said. That's not going to be transformed to something beautiful and glorious. It's not like that in spiritual matters. When we're talking about something spiritual, so when they're ugly, there's nothing uglier than something spiritually ugly. No ugly, nothing physically ugly can be as ugly and as unsightly as something spiritually ugly. However, that spiritual ugliness can be transformed into tremendous light. It's not that you're mochek. Physical ugliness has to be nimchak, it has to be erased. Spiritual ugliness can be transformed into something incredible. Tumat anida, kishem shi mechoeret b'tzadei achitzoniim. Tumas nida, just like on the outside, it doesn't look good, all that blood, it's not a pleasant sight. Yoter v'yoter mechoeret b'pnimiyut ha-matzav ruchani shel ha-nefesh. It's even uglier when we're talking about spiritually. Spiritually, nida is a time of impurity. Vo'el alu ma kdusha k'shenefashot shezohamat anida pnimiyut megubelet b'hem. We're into a nation, a holy nation, when souls, that the impurity of internal need, of the spiritual ugliness, is mixed in with them. Nimtzot v'kirva is found in their midst. Kedei la'ashrish et ha-zohama ha-chitzonit shel tumat ha-nida. In order to take root, in order to uproot the external ugliness of Tumas Nida, in order to, that we should understand that it should take root. In other words, the word Lesharesh means to uproot, and Lehashrish means to take root. So we have to understand how ugly it is. Kama sheyechola lefgo b'matzav ruchani v'chalmi shalapat v'nafka v'nalkat. But this is like shirah chitzonit merubah. You need a lot of shmir chitzonis in order that one should stay away from this Tumas Nida. אבל שמרה חיצונית המדבט את זכר הזוהמה החיצונית, משארת אחריה עקבות של זוהמה וניבור של גועל נפש. But this external shmira that inculcates us with the memory of the external impurity leaves after it traces of impurity, ugliness, of disgust and repulsion, that its outcome could destroy the order of life in the family. Bein besed urchini shal yachas avar roya lemetze bivet Yisrael. Bein befoal shetuchan lesebev gamken gerushin upurdim ha-moshin. As we need the shmir chitzanis. What's the shmir chitzanis? Shmir chitzanis is that a woman should look really, really ugly. So the husband stay away from her, she's a nida. So again, we have to find a balance. And one, we have to understand that tumas need this tumah. It's nothing that the woman did wrong. It's not her fault. We can blame anybody. We're allowed to blame Chava, maybe. But it's not that she did anything wrong. But it's a tumah, just like a dead person didn't do anything wrong. And he's avi yavas tumah. Tumas meis is avi yavas tumah. Even if it's, you know, it's tzaddik dies. Still a kohen not allowed in the same room. It's not that he did anything wrong. But it's tumah, it's a fact. So this tumas nida is ugly on the outside and ugly on the inside. And therefore we have to stay far away from it. We don't want to come into contact with such tumah. However, this external shmirah that we have, right, that we're staying far away, and it's supposed to inculcate us with this feeling of, ugh, it's disgusting, it's terrible. This can destroy a family. Not only can it destroy love between a husband and wife, but it can even lead to divorce, chas v'shalom. Not only a feeling of love can it remove, yachas ahava ruya limatzei b'beit Yisrael, there should be love between a couple. But also, ben b'fol, shetuchana l'sabev gam ken gerushin, u'perudim mamashiyim, divorce, mamish separation. Al ken anu muchrachim, la'atik, et siyur ha'zihum ha'chitzoni. Therefore, it is necessary for us to take the picture, the illustration of the eternal zihum, mashiyotelu kari, shuwa zihum aruchani. In other words, go to the spiritual side, shutzuri v'zguli, which is part of the tsura, which is something spiritual, which is something skuli, melacham skula, that it's not something physical, rational, it's something super rational, it's something spiritual, something beyond what we can see. Shuchoder b'ma'amakei nefashot kedoshot, that it's penetrates to the depths of the holy souls. And when it removes itself through the koach of this skula dikatara, like the Rambam says, the end of Mikvos, that it's not the water, it's not something physical on the water that makes a person pure. It's something skuli. It's a gzera of the Torah, that the woman becomes pure. It encourages, it brings to life the rotting, the spoiling, that was in the past, lafochotan lahod v'tiferet, to transform it to something splendorous and glorious. She told Seotehem that its outcome in them darkei shalom, pathways of peace, v'simchat lev, and the joy of the heart. Hamalchim alalo ayu b'shmiyanik tchina tochnitam alchim b'Yisrael v'yachas leir chashmirah b'tumat nida. These mahalchim were in the different programs that went in the Jewish people in relationship the value of guarding from tumas nida. Mitzad hachitzoniyut, al pi hazkenim harishonim. Mitzad hachitzonius, based on the zkenim harishonim. Umitzad haomek v'ara pnimit hachoderet amok b'lev v'shata. V'ina netzachet l'mata chitzin ha'makshir akvot ma'afilot acharav. In other words, what did the zkenim harishonim want to do? The zkenim harishonim wanted the woman to look ugly. And if the woman looks ugly, then the man's going to be totally turned off. And that will also impact him, will be turned off by the spiritual impurity. So the state of Nida is ugly on the outside and ugly on the inside. And that's why the Zakenim Harishonim said, oh, we want to inculcate you with that idea. Tumas nida is ugly on the outside, ugly on the inside. So therefore, we're going to make sure that the woman doesn't look good. No makeup, no nice clothing. V'hadava b'nidasa. She is, like Rashi says, she is minuda. She is malchikami bala. We want to distance her from her husband. To realize this is an impure state and we should stay away from impurity. That was his idea, and he was right. The Zakenim HaRishonim, they were right. There is something to them. We do want to distance them. But Rabbi Akiva, But again, that's dangerous. It's dangerous because not only could it lead to a lack of love between the couple, but it could lead to divorce. He looks at her and she's not attractive. He says, what do I need this for? I can do much better. That's unfortunately the way men think very often. So Rabbi Akiva said, you know what? Let's take another perspective. Let's look at the view of the pasuk and see how this spiritual ugliness can be transformed into something very beautiful. V'hadava b'nidasa. What is v'hadava b'nidasa? And the menstruating woman in a state of nida, that she remains in her state of nida until she immerses herself in the water of a mikvah, and then she becomes pure. And this ugliness is transformed into something very beautiful. You have the Tara Skulis of water, and then so they connected this nida not to the idea of nida minuda, but hadava benidata, that she only remains that way as long as she hasn't gone into the water. But when she goes into the water, how pure she's going to be. And it bestows on her this splendor, this fresh glory, this spiritual, soulful glory. That is fitting to be mafriach, to make sprouts, to make flower, a gentle, holy life, umleim hadrat gvura, filled with splendorous strength, v'chein kodesh and holy charm, umesharim and uprightness. Ima peula mitzterefet al eidah v'azgula shekol ikvot oto aruach hakeha, hanitzmad al aruach harav azim shatumat nida sar, al eidah chidush hachayim v'etalut shal tahara. So that whole dark spirit is now removed. This impurity is removed. Binidata tehe ach tavo b'mayim. So instead of viewing the pasuk the way the Chachamim, the Zakenim HaRishonim viewed it, that binidata pashib shav in the pasuk, that she must be distanced. And how do you distance her? Make sure she looks really bad. Rabbi Akiva said, okay, there's something to that, but you know what? That's going to destroy our homes. And that's the last thing the Rabbanu Shalom wants. So therefore, we have a better idea. Let's look at this pasuk, v'hadava b'nidata, and darshan it in a positive way. That yes, until now she was nida, but when she goes into the water, that's now going to be something very pure and very holy. And that state of nida is transformed into something pure. There's a famous Rambam in the Sefer, in this parish Mishnayos and Parah, that he says that somebody who is impure and became pure is more pure than somebody who was pure in the first place. Because somebody's pure in the first place, the Torah doesn't call them Tahar. Torah calls somebody Tahar after they were Tamei. So this woman now is Tahar. She's even more pure than she was to start with. This impurity was transformed into something much greater. And there's a lot of talk about that. There's Yosef Engels, a lot of beautiful discussion about that. Al Kopanim, we see here the Yisod, that very, very important, both from Ula and from this Braisa, from Rabbi Akiva, Shalei Tzolot Zgan Al Baila. That's why we're bringing this Braisa. Ula was talking about Shabbos. She liked the little skan al baila. She should still wear some ornaments, not too much. And then Rabbi Akiva said, even when she's in nida, she's still allowed to look good, and she must look good, because otherwise, chas v'shalom, it could bring to shalom bayis problems or worse. And the Zakenim HaRishonim, they correctly also felt that, hey, she's in nida, so this is impure, so you have to make sure that we do something that even men could appreciate. You know, you don't have to be you don't have to be on the Arizal to be able to look into his soul and see what the Tum of Nida looks like, that he could just look at her face and say, oh, she looks terrible today. So a man's going to look and he's going to see that, and he's going to stay away from the Nida. And Chachamim HaRishonim, Eilu of Divalokim Chayim, that's what they felt. Rabbi Akiva, that's obviously what we pass in the Halacha. Rabbi Akiva says she is allowed to adorn herself because we trust that the Jewish men are going to keep the Halachas of Nida. But we don't want chas v'shalom that there should be any shalom bayis problems, or even worse. And therefore, he expounds the pasuk to be saying that, hey, right now she's in nida, but when she goes into the water, how pure is she going to be? How much hod? How much glory? How much tiferet? V'hadava b'nidata. It's interesting. Maybe hadava is osios v'hahod. V'ahod, and the splendor with her nida. In other words, the nida turns into something splendorous. That is just amazing. U'matzil lehod v'hadar ra'anan v'nishmati. This was incredible. Two beautiful, beautiful shtiklach. It's always giving us such insight for life. Thank you so much for listening. And with Hashem, we will continue this series. B'simcha b'tuv lev v'mehirav kol shalom shalom.